research sort of goes back to camelids, like alpacas, llamas, and camels, and actually, oddly enough, sharks as well do this. They make a special kind of antibody. It's unique in nature because it's a single chain. And what that does, and it's actually fairly small as well as proteins go. And so you can raise an immune response in these animals, and they'll generate these nanobodies. And then those nanobodies can be used for a whole host of things. And our application is to try to make anti-COVID, or I guess more specifically, anti-SARS-CoV-2 nanobodies, ones that will react with a viral particle and will actually disrupt the ability of the virus to infect cells. And so these so-called nanobodies are ideal because they're really small, but they're also, they can be made really specific. And we've made them to a couple of the viral proteins, one of which you probably heard about, the spike protein, the S protein. And the idea is you can make these as inhibitors that block function. And they block the ability of the virus to get inside a cell or to even bind to a cell. And so these nanobodies, because of their size, they can be developed into pharmaceuticals because they don't, you know, they end up not being toxic, you know, so you can put them into a human and they're not toxic. They don't elicit an immune response in the humans. And in fact, there's already some out there. They're nanobodies that are directed to clotting factors that affect blood clotting. So this is a technology that's, you know, that's being developed. It's a very specific way to inhibit specific things, and they're being used in the clinics now. And so we decided we would try to see if we could make something that would block viral infection. That's where the project began. We started working with alpacas because they were the smallest camelid. Llamas actually scare me. They're big and they're nasty. Alpacas are actually easier to work with. They make nanobodies. We've been doing this for about 3 years at UK and have a pretty successful track record of being able to do this technology. And so we got some of the viral proteins and vaccinated the animals with that to generate the nanobodies. And so we're almost done with the first part of the process, which is to generate the immune responses. So the next process will be to identify nanobodies that react to the virus. And then, of course, the third process will be to take those and screen them for which ones disrupt the virus infection. Once we get to that stage, we have something that can actually perhaps go into the clinic.
Let me see if I can follow some of this. Are we talking about prevention or treatment?
Well, so the way these are expected to work, I don't know how much about the coronaviruses you followed, but there's one called MERS, which is the Middle Eastern Respiratory Virus, and it's a coronavirus relative. And so nanobodies have been effective at protecting against MERS infections, and it's in a developmental stage, but it seems to work. And so the way we envision these to be used for is potentially for infection, but also as a way to generate what's called passive immunity. You know, you've read in the press where they're using sera from patients that have recovered from COVID as a way to treat patients with active cases. And so these nanobodies could actually be used in that kind of guise as a way to help someone that's infected rid themselves of the virus, or at least blunt the infection from getting further on. So the reason why nanobodies are so attractive for that is because, again, of their small size, you can actually make them as an inhalant, where they can be actually inhaled into the lungs, and that's where the viral infection is. So they have, you know, a pretty good utility to treat these kinds of respiratory infections.
So I guess on that point, down the line, if things pan out well, would you see it being developed into some kind of inhaler, like a?
Yeah. I mean, you know that. So you know, drug development is a long drawn out process, right? So the first part of it, which is where we sort of are now, is generating the nanobodies, identifying them, showing in the laboratory that they have efficacy, right? And then the next part of that process will be a process called humanization. And it is basically changing the nanobody so it's even less reactive to a human immune system. And then they're tested in a phase one trial, which would be for health and safety, right? Do they trigger some adverse effect that we couldn't predict? And then they go into phase two and three trials where you look and see whether they're effective at preventing infection, treating infection, that kind of thing. So it's sort of a long process to get something that's useful, that's available for treatment to humans. But these have a good potential. I mean, you know, they've been used in other viral systems. They are used as clinical drugs now for other diseases. And so, you know, this is one of those things that we're reasonably positive that we can generate something that will be useful.
You know, there are varying timelines suggested in terms of a vaccine being available. If and when a vaccine, well, not if, I guess hopefully we'll all say when a vaccine becomes available, does that make this this technique moot?
Well, you know, this one is a difficult one to answer because the nanobodies that we're trying to make against the COVID virus will be for what's called a passive form of immunity. So somebody that's already infected would be partially protected from getting infection. It doesn't replace your natural immune response, which was what the a vaccine would drive. And so in the grander scheme of things, you know, a vaccine is the best case scenario. However, I can't go into this in a whole lot of detail, but there do seem to be a number of patients that are not generating normal immune responses after being infected. And these nanobodies would be very useful for those kinds of patients. So somebody, you know, that let's say has been infected with a virus, hasn't mounted a neutralizing immune response, or somebody that hasn't generated a response to the vaccine, and this does happen with all vaccines, then these nanobodies have the potential to treat those patients, you know, that group that is not protected by the vaccine. So I think that, as I sort of stated, I think they're a way to treat patients now before there's a vaccine available, and they will be a useful tool later on for that group of people where the vaccine may or may not be effective. I think, you know, if you look at some of the reports that are coming out, there's a lot of diversity in people's immune responses to this virus. And it's not altogether clear what confers protection versus what doesn't. And I think that's probably going to turn out to be true also with the vaccines. Some people will respond well enough and they'll be protected, and some people may not. And that's the nanobodies will be helpful for that population.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to circle back to, if I've got these names right, Big Boy, Blue Eyes, and Emperor. So are they still, or tell me again how they were involved, and are they still involved?
So we have a wonderful collaboration with an alpaca farmer in Richmond, Alvina Maynard, who runs the River Hill Ranch. And she has been a wonderful partner in this. 3 years ago, when we started talking about making nanobodies for other projects that were going on in the department, we reached out to her as a member of the Alpaca Farming Association in Kentucky. And she has been incredibly helpful, you know, teaching us how to work with the animals and that kind of thing. These animals we lease from her. And we have an agreement where we take the, bring the animals up, we vaccinate them, we prepare the nanobody materials from them, and then they go back and they live on her farm. And then, you know, we do this this vaccination cycle about three times a year, or sorry, about two times a year. And we bring the animals back up to the UK farms, do our vaccination routines, and then they go back to her farm to live. And so she's been a great partner with us. And we have, the beauty of making nanobodies the way we do is that the same animals can be used over and over again. And so they get to know us really well, which I can tell you some really funny stories later. And, you know, they are, they're well taken care of. We understand exactly what they need to be healthy. Our animal husbandry staff at the university is great in taking care of them. And so, you know, like I say, it's worked out to be a great partnership. And so Blue Eyes and Big Boy have been at the university for about 2.5 years. Well, no, about 2 years. Emperor, which is the one, he's a new one. He just started working with us.
In this very layperson's mind, when you said vaccinating the alpacas, it sounds like you're protecting them against a virus.
Well, you know, it turns out that's a really interesting question. So if you go back to MERS for just a second, and again, this is a coronavirus related. Well, it is a coronavirus. It's related to the COVID-19 virus. And it causes a respiratory disease, analogous at least. Camelids seem to be fairly protected from this virus. They mount, you know, they're the reservoir, or at least camels. Camels are the reservoir for MERS. And so they already can protect that, you know, they already can mount an immune response that's protective. And that's the reason why we actually thought this had a good probability of working, because the animals themselves have seen these viruses before in nature and have actually developed a fairly good immunity to them, or at least ability to mount an immune response to them. And so we thought that the nanobodies we would get from the alpacas would actually be very useful for that reason. They're already, you know, they've already naturally seen these viruses, and so they know how to respond to them. So in short answer, yes, we are vaccinating them against the COVID, and so they probably won't get it. But in all honesty, they're probably already pretty prone to being able to take care of it on their own without our help.